You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Podcast Juice is working it like a job and we need your help. Check out our crowdsourcing campaign over on Indiegogo. Details are on PodcastJuice.net. Remember, work it like a job and let's take this thing to the next level. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. This is Geeked Out. My name is Michael Dean. And we got a good one for you today. We're going to get into a number of new movies. Yes, we're going to do some Shades of Grey and some Kingsman and some other stuff. But before we get into all of that, I got to introduce my brethren, my co-hosts, my co-patriots, my team members, my family, starting with Mr. Q-Storm. How are you, sir?
Hey, listen, I was listening to the last show that I wasn't a part of. I have a Captain Kirk diatribe to go on to, so I will... Wait until you give me the floor.
All right. Don't let me forget that. Next up, Mr. Sean Hill. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm wearing a t-shirt that says, I survived 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, damn. All right. Next up is Mr. Ann Poole. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Q, I hate to burst your bubble, but Michael Dean sent me an email yesterday saying that the show that you weren't on was... the most downloaded show of the month.
Damn lie.
after I say what I got to say, we'll see if there's still the most downloaded show.
Damn. And for the record, I didn't send no emails. Next up is Mr. Big Sexy and Sack. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm dragging today. I think I drank some expired orange juice yesterday.
Oof. Ugh. It's not good.
Oh, yeah. I paid for it all last night.
You smatter, you bubbling? No, all right, next that one. Burr, burr. We have a special guest today. We want to welcome in Crystal. Now, let me put a little introduction here. So, Crystal has been a longtime supporter of the show. She has been putting the money on the books. Definitely, she has helped us with our Work It Like a Job campaign. That is why she's here today. So we definitely want to give a big shout out and thank you to her for that. She is also a part of the podcast All Access. So she's just been blessing us. And now we have our first opportunity to welcome her to the mic to be a part of the show. How are you doing, Crystal?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. So, Crystal, how long have you been listening and how did you find Podcast Juice?
Well, where do I start? I randomly just decided to just really start checking out Prince's catalog because, I mean, I know it's the Prince podcast, but I didn't really get serious about his catalog probably till maybe in the last like 8-9 months, and just Googling around, and I just came across you guys and started listening to like the older shows and just learning about it. And then that's just kind of how I got sucked into, listening to you guys and, along with all the other things you guys talk about too, like not just Prince, but you guys talk about, your comics and movies and everything like that. And I just really enjoy listening to you guys. You guys are hilarious too. Okay. So it's just, it's good conversation. I'm a fan of that. So I've just been, just wanting to support you guys. And I really believe in what Podcast Juice is all about. So that's why I'm here.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. That gives us even more incentive to keep going. I got to ask you, what part of the country are you from? Where are you located at?
I am in the Southwest. I'm in Arizona, where it is 70, 80 degrees in February. So I'm not complaining.
wait, you're from Arizona? I got family there. We can?
Hey.
Chris, is that how we do it now?
Seriously, Anthony? Come on.
Wow.
Crystal?
Because we know all, yes, we know all black
yes,
people.
Yes, I'm here.
You should.
Hey, I have a big family in Arizona. I'm just saying.
Go ahead, Q.
Second cousin once removed? I don't know.
Nah, I'm good.
All right. So before we go into the meat and potatoes here, I want to give Q Storm his opportunity. He wanted to address the last Geeked Out. So go ahead, sir.
All right. First of all, I got to call out Prince.
Huh?
Look, get a pick or lose the afro. Simple as that. And orange Mylar only works for 3-year-old birthday parties, not his clothing.
It worked for him.
It worked, yeah.
Yeah, I'll giggle at that shit, but, you know, I ain't going to knock the boy.
Orange is the new prince.
Pull off, man. He can pull that stuff off. It always has been.
Wow. He's like putting on something that another won't dare. It's a freezer.
I saw a photo of him. He looked horrible. It was the first time I looked at him and I thought, he looks old.
All right.
Dude, and like 7 years older than you. What are you talking about? Sterile.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's move on then. see? Okay. I was going to say, Ampu is right. I hate to say it, but he is right about Peter Parker. That's the only Spider-Man that belongs in the MCU. However, he's dead wrong about not putting Sue and Reed on the list for best couples. When Sue and Reed have been together, they were the first family of Marvel Comics. And Sue stayed with Reed even though Namor tried to Matt. And now, Crystal, you might want to cover your ears when I say this. But Sue also knows that Reed is the only one in the entire Marvel Universe that can give her that long dick.
Oh!
Wow.
Wow. You know, Q, I was with you until you went there. Man.
Also, Aunt Pooh is wrong
But Q, you know there's been an addendum to that, right? Because it's like, yeah, even though he can stretch it, there's not concrete behind that. Because, you know, it's all stretchy and flabby. So you might want to rescind that.
See, you actually went into more detail than I could ever go into.
First of all, I didn't go into detail on that.
I don't know what you know.
Let's get off of Reed Richards' penises.
Please.
And girth and all that.
I'll also say that Ampu is wrong about Green Lantern. It's not John Stewart. It's Hal Jordan. I will say that Big Sexy is right. Bringing in Tuco on the first episode of Better Call Saul was some bullshit. I would also say to all of y'all, for dissing Ava DuVernay, I want to know, did all of y'all chip in on the ticket for the Coon Train?
Wait, whoa. I didn't diss the girl. I ain't seen the movie yet.
I didn't diss her either.
That's why I'm putting you on the Coon Train.
Hold on. So, not because I haven't seen the movie, I'm dissing the girl? How do you get to that conclusion?
Well, one of y'all said, I haven't seen Selma, but I'm going to go see Straight Outta Compton. I'm going to be there.
Who the hell do you think said that? I'll give you three guesses. Come on.
Well, I just y'all none of y'all had anything good to say about Ava DuVernay. I had some feelings about that.
I don't know her work, man, so I don't have anything to say about the girl at all.
Besides Selma, what else has she directed?
Or has she? What
does it matter? Well, no, I'm just asking. Does she have a body of work?
What are you saying? Dogging her work, man. We besides Selma, what else has she done? Yeah,
Somebody said in regards
Dude,
to
Dude, start with the somebody. Name.
I can't remember, but you all know who said it. Someone said that she didn't get an Oscar nomination and she didn't get ripped off or something like that.
That would probably be me.
I don't think she got ripped off either, personally. I mean, I'm not saying she's bad, but I haven't seen Clint anything Eastwood super is exceptional of what she did.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood's not nominated for Best Director either, but you don't hear him crying about him getting snubbed.
Well, no, wait. Don't put that on Ava. I haven't heard her cry about it either.
Well, supporters, how about that? Clint Eastwood supporters.
Yeah, I'm just saying only two people on the panel, if that many, saw Selma.
Well, I saw it, and I said she doesn't deserve to be nominated.
And all I did was put out facts. Facts, sir. The fact of the matter is the Oscars did not nominate her. People complained within the black community, including the NAACP. And when it came time for the NAACP to make it right, they said, yeah, we're going to give it to the guy who did The Equalizer instead.
Well, wait, be clear. Did the NAACP nominate her?
Yes, they nominated her for an Image Award.
Were they complaining that she didn't win, or were they complaining she wasn't nominated for something?
Nominated.
And then they corrected that, right?
By nominating her, yes.
Right. Okay.
And then they they could go out of their way to make sure that Black-ish gets all these accolades for best comedy series, best actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress. But when it came time to shut the thumb their nose to Hollywood by giving her the award for best director, they were like, nah, let's go with The Equalizer.
Hold on. Now, Ann, did you see Selma?
Have not seen Selma.
Just shut up.
What does that have to do with naming facts? I'm not saying this.
I am not saying the sister ain't talented. I'm not saying the sister had no business being nominated. All I'm saying is, it's like all those people complaining about her getting nominated for not getting nominated for the Oscars. Why didn't they got beef with the NAACP Image Award that didn't even give her the win?
I'm not even talking about it. I'm saying,
that's all I'm saying.
But you haven't seen the movie.
Have you seen some?
I ain't complaining.
Have you seen it though? I'm just asking. Have you seen some?
Parents have spoken. Counsel, the horror after a.
Hold on. So simply because in your mind, Q, people haven't seen someone that puts them on the coon train?
Oh, don't make me say it, Big
Sam. Say it. You got something to say? Say it.
I mean, I've seen Malcolm X. I've seen Roots.
Wait, stop. This guy?
I saw Rosewood. So, you know.
What's proven is that you had a TV in 1972. And you bought a movie ticket back in 1977,
man. Okay, get your year straight. Roots was in 77. Try again.
All right.
Let me say this. I, for one, am kind of tired of the whole Selma got bashed thing. The people that are making those statements probably have not seen the rest of the nominated films. That's for one of why I have continuously said that I'm going to reserve judgment until I've seen them all and then decide. But based on what I've seen now, I don't think that she was snubbed at all for receiving Best Director. I don't believe that whatever his last name is, I don't believe right now that he was snubbed for Best Actor. Again, haven't seen all the films, so you should basically don't say anything until you've seen them all. Now, as far as seeing Selma and not seeing Selma and being put on the coon train because you haven't seen Selma.
Bullshit.
I agree with that. I said it was a good film, but I don't think it's must see. You know, you got to go see it. Your life depends on it type thing. It was a good movie. See it if you can. I mean, that's my opinion on it.
All right, moving on. Let's get into some current stuff here. This is a big movie. It's actually Valentine's
weekend. I'm sorry, what? It's what weekend?
Oh, go ahead. Tell me what it is. Valentine Day?
There is no M, okay? None. Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Yes.
There we go.
Man, he's up on the host.
Oh, it's all good.
You know, he's the butcher of names anyway.
I am. So anyway, it is that guy's name today. there's a big movie that comes out this weekend, 50 Shades of Grey. It was based off a very popular book series. I have yet to read the book series. I have yet to see the movie yet personally myself. But Sean Hill has braved the cinema for us to talk about this movie. So Sean Hill.
Glad you let it be known you didn't read the book because I was ready to pull your old man card.
Wait, hold on. Stop this show. You about to pull somebody's man card? Come on, man. Have a seat over there and let's let Sean speak.
A seat on the far end of the bench, please.
Hey, I know Q can't talk, Mr. Owlet's Prince Smash.
What?
You don't remember that one?
Actually, it was Tony M.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's.
That makes sense.
Well, go to have a seat over there, and we'll let you get it together. Sean Hill, 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey. All right. Unless you've been living under a rock for the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, you've undoubtedly at least heard that phrase, 50 Shades of Grey, whether or not you've read the book. But for the people that haven't or don't know anything about it, it basically tells the story of the relationship between billionaire Christian Grey and virginal, that's important to the story, college student Anastasia Steele. She goes by Anna. She goes to interview him for her college newspaper, and there's this like, you know, instant immediate attraction between the two. And she's slowly drawn into his world of what he calls unusual sexual practices, which is, includes bondage, dominance, sadomasochism, the whole thing. And as she gets deeper drawn into the relationship with him, she also begins to explore her own desires for the first time and test what her limits are and aren't. And that's pretty much the story. I mean, there aren't really any subplots. I'll address a couple of things about it. There was a big controversy over the casting of Jamie Dornan as the lead. He was not the original guy that was cast. The original guy was Charlie, I want to say Hoonan. Is that his name? From
Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Jax.
Yeah. Yeah. He was originally cast, and then he's after a while, he said he couldn't – he didn't think he could handle the pressure of the role and what it was going to do to his career. So Dornan was eventually cast. And then Dakota Johnson, who, if you don't know, she is the daughter of Melanie Griffin and Don Johnson, was cast as Anastasia Steele. The movie is decent. It's good. It's not what I thought it was going to be. It wasn't as nearly as graphic as I thought it was going to be. There's a problem with chemistry between the two of them. I think it's her as an actress. I just don't think that she has the gravitas, the chops to carry the role. So I think that led to kind of a lack of chemistry between the two. People aren't going to see the chemistry. They're going to see the sex and the nudity and all of that. And it is erotic. It is sexy. Despite their lack of chemistry, the sex and bondage scenes do play out pretty well. If you guys remember, I talked about on the Boy Next Door review where we talked about Jennifer Lopez's sex scene and how they used a lot of camera angles that you could tell that she was, you know, trying to be in the scene, but she was trying to cover up kind of at the same time, and there's probably some body double usage there. There's none of that here. it's all hanging out, so to speak. But the scenes aren't gratuitous. As I said, they help advance the story because, again, it's going to show Anna testing the limits of what she will or will not do sexually. So if you – They're tastefully done, but you know, if you going in cold, you know, just be prepared.
Can I ask you a question about the sex scene? Because I'm looking at this site and it's breaking down like the top sexiest scenes from the book, and the number one here sort of disturbs me. I'm curious: is this in the movie? Is there some sort of tampon scene?
No, that scene is not in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And there was actually a big discussion about whether or not that was going to be in there, and I think the director said no, that it wasn't going to be in there. There wasn't a point to it. Mm-hmm. As someone who hasn't read the book at all, I thought it was well made, but I didn't think it lived up to the hype of what I would have been expecting to see. Now, there's been a big claim that the film is degrading to women and glorifies what is essentially a one-sided abusive relationship. Based on the film alone, I'm basing it on the film, not the book. I don't find those claims to be unfounded. Christian, he does not hide his activities from her in any way. He's completely open and upfront about what he expects from their relationship, what's going to be involved in their relationship. She even has to sign a contract saying what she will and will not do. And everything, whether or not she was a butt plug or Kegel balls or – I mean, seriously, I'm being serious. I mean, everything is listed in this contract. And she can say, no, I won't do this. No, I won't do that.
What, so if she says she would take a butt plug and then she doesn't, would he sue her or something? I don't know.
Well, I don't think you could – like, I don't think legal. We'd have to ask our legal
– Hey, you expert. Signed a deal, said you was going to take it up to that. Don't back out on me now.
Now, there's – this is kind of character related for me. There are questions for me is whether or not Christian truly cared for her. It seemed like he didn't, but there are times where he does. She clearly cares for him, and maybe that's where some of the controversy comes. And I won't spoil the ending for anyone that hasn't seen it, but I was definitely surprised at how the movie ended. Now, my overall review – this is my overall review – as a guy, I would say if you're going to see it, definitely see it with your woman. Don't go by yourself. You'll get the side.
Did you like the movie?
I like the movie. I gave it 2.5 out of 4 stars. I'm going to read Deborah's review because she reviewed it too. We went together. My wife. My wife. So this is what she – I call her Mrs. Hill Street. So she says, though – thoroughly entertaining. I went in not expecting much from the negative hype pre-release. Being that it turned out good made it more enjoyable. I did not have high hopes from the casting of Dakota Johnson, and my fears were realized by her performance. though somewhat fitting the description of the character, she annoyed the hell out of me. As for Jamie Dornan, I have always, and she put this in all caps, always loved him, and I was glad that he was cast instead of the original choice. He gave a great performance despite his Irish accent coming through from time to time, and yes, his accent did leak through from time to time. I hope they are able to keep him for the remaining two films. In regards to chemistry, I felt that the leads were able to convey the emotions of the characters despite the rumors that they did not get along. It's been a long time since I have read the books, and so I cannot accurately indicate what changes have been made. I believe that the film can be enjoyed by fans of the book and those that are coming in fresh. That's her review. Right. So we're about a half a star apart.
I got a quick question for you. This is going to tell me if this movie is good. So you and your wife saw this movie together, right?
Yes.
Okay. When you came home, did you guys either go to sleep or did you stay up?
We stayed up.
No, there you go. Got to see it. I guess that movie worked, right?
Well, that's why I say see it with, you know, see it with your lady.
Is it better than Pornhub?
Well, no. Of course not. And I'll say this. I'm
going to get the brother in trouble.
I'll say this. I'll call it an alternate version of the movie that is available. I have seen that, and it's really? Pretty good. So, I will say this, it was so good that the company that made the film got sued by Universal because it was too close to the book. Although it was called 50 Shades, a parody, it took essential elements from the book and lines of dialogue from the book. So they felt that it was so close that people would think that it was actually a legitimate movie and endorsed by either the author or by the studio. So there you go. Yeah.
Crystal, have you read this book?
I have not. Oh, okay. No.
I know a lot of women be like, yeah, it's the book.
Yeah, I'm one of the rare ones that I'm not really not interested, honestly. Like, I don't know. It does not grab me at all. Yeah. Mm-mm.
I have not read the book nor seen the movie, but let's face it, the guy's a billionaire. Yeah, he can do anything he wants. And that whole signing a contract of what she will or will not do, that was taken straight from Chappelle's show. They're not fooling anybody.
Well, it's funny that the book started out as fan fiction for Twilight, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah, the characters were Bella and Edward originally.
Never saw that either.
I mean, was it really that was there a lot of nudity? Was it any crazier than what was the movie with Tom Cruise years ago?
Eyes Wide Shut. No, yeah. it's definitely crazier than I'd watch. There's a lot of nudity, but mostly it's her. I mean, she provides, I guess, I don't know what the right term is, but she provides most of the film's nudity. There is a lot of it.
Did she get whipped and stuff?
Yeah, yep.
It's funny. Was it a crowd? Well, you saw it. I guess you saw it at a press screening. So I'm curious how it plays to regular people.
I saw it with fans because, again, usually with these screenings, you know, these are the people that will camp out a day to see it. You know, I was kind of surprised, though, at their reaction to it. I thought there was going to be a lot of hooping and hollering woo, and all that. And then they were pretty subdued during it. I don't know, you know, what to attribute that to. I didn't like, you know, talk to anybody afterwards, but I was really, really surprised at that. There was a lot of sometimes nervous, like, giggles and laughter sometimes when some of the sex scenes were going on, some of the whipping scenes and whatnot. And the scene where they're negotiating the contract is hilarious. It's a funny scene. And it got a lot of laughs because, again, they're literally going down this checklist over, you know, what she will and won't do. And that's why I say although she's a submissive, she ultimately has the ultimate control because she will, you know, has control over, again, what she will and won't do. And as a dominant, he has to abide by that.
Interesting.
What kind of freaky shit is that, man?
Hey, I didn't write the book. I just went to see the movie.
All right. Any other last questions on 50 Shades of Grey? before we move on?
Go ahead. I just wanted to say, you know, the problem I had, I haven't seen it. Obviously, I haven't read the book. I don't plan to see it. But the problem I have is I posted up on Facebook, I want to say last night, that what's interesting that there are women's advocacy groups who are protesting this film and the book, and which is fine, but
don't go fucking see it. It's that simple.
But the main driving force behind this property's success is women, and so just because I point that out. I'm getting one particular woman on Facebook is talking about how I don't know what I'm talking about. I have an opinion on something that I haven't even read or seen. And I'm trying to explain to people, all I'm doing is making an observation that if women are targeting a certain demographic, which one would assume when it comes to sexual or domestic violence against women, they're targeting men. In this case, the target really should be other women because they're the ones who have propelled this thing forward.
Well, you know, again, having seen the book and or seen the movie and having heard about those protests, it's unfounded. That's what I was saying in my review. It's totally unfounded because, as I said, yes, he does, you know, whip her and spank her and he's borderline mentally abusive to her, but he's totally upfront about it. He doesn't hide it. He doesn't lie to her. She always has the control. He tells her anytime she can walk away. And one of the points in the book is that she's the 15th girl that he's had in this, you know, submissive position. So, you know, that was another reason why I was questioning whether or not he actually cared for her, because again, you know, it seems like it's just another notch in his dominant belt. But I don't feel in any way that it's the film is degrading to women or glorifies a relationship that's abusive, because again, she has 100% of the power. She may choose to give him the power, but ultimately she has the power.
So she got the power over the billionaire?
Well, yeah, you'll know what
trade
I mean.
Up so quick. Get this bitch out.
Well, Sean, I hear what you're saying. I don't know if that's an argument to say she has power, because you would say, I mean, using that logic, women that are in actual abusive relationships, it's the old trope. Well, they could just leave. That may be true, but there's a mental or a psychological barrier that prevents them from leaving. But my point is that, put all that aside, why are women so drawn to this property? And typically, I know you're going to clown me, that's fine, but typically in a from what I've seen and read, when you're talking about a dominant submissive relationship where there's what's the term, BDSM, whatever that,
yeah.
It's typically the woman who is the dominatrix and the man who is submissive. This turns that over on its head, and it's becoming problematic to some women's groups. But it seems like women don't seem to have a problem with it.
I would think this is probably from a certain woman's point of view. This is the fantasy: is the rich guy, you know, you come into, she's a virgin, and then you know he's got all this power, and she comes in and kind of has this illusion of power. You sort of want to be dominated by a man. To me, it seemed like an older woman, a soccer mom's fantasy. This was something they would want.
I mean, he, you know, she sexually discovers herself during this time. But let me be clear: they're never in a relationship. He makes it perfectly clear to her that they're not. Sorry,
I was saying he don't love these songs. But go ahead.
Oh, they're not in a relationship. He tells her that several times throughout the movie, because she wants, you know, to go to the movies and go out to eat and stuff like that. You know, she wants to
booty call.
She wants to date, and he's like, "That's not what this is about." You know, and if you don't like it, you don't have to be in it. They're not living together. They're not married. You know, again, she's going into this under her own free will.
So this is essentially a fancy booty call movie.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah. I'm just saying some of these advocacy groups would be saying it is still exploiting somebody who doesn't know any better. And I'm not judging that. I think there is some validity to that, but I'm not saying that perspective is right or wrong. I think there's some validity to it, that to the point of what I was saying about an abusive, a violent relationship that's non-sexual, maybe, but a violent relationship. I think it's the same thing. My problem, once again, is that I am curious to know why women are the ones who are primarily driving this forward when some women's groups are saying it is not healthy in terms of how they depict women.
Well, that's easy, Q. That's easy because, not all women are going to have the same thought. That's not a monolithic deal. Some women are going to dig it, some aren't. And the ones who aren't going to dig it, want you to know that they don't like it and want you to not exercise your judgment or free will and freedom of choice to go watch it or not, which is, people in all sorts of walks of life do shit like that. I mean, and again, if you don't like something, don't watch it.
Well, and that's true. And correct. And I would say that I never said I didn't see what a perspective might be on this. I'm just saying the women who are protesting this, I wonder if they understand that.
Oh, of course not. Oh, hell no.
Maybe I haven't seen it. Maybe it's not that deep. If women, no pause. if women are the ones propelling this.
Right. Well, as far as the movie being deeper and introspective, it's not. Is not. It's clearly, a fantasy. Women are drawn to it, much like they were drawn to Twilight, kind of the same thing. It's a love story at heart, but it does tap into, and a lot of the women are relate to the character in the book, sexually repressed or, not wanting to try new things, and it's opened them up to trying new things with their, significant others, blah, blah, blah. I think that's what has kind of propelled it to where it is now. Now, those that are against it, I would say, much like the Selma debate, the people that are against it probably haven't read it or definitely haven't seen the movie. And I will say this, and I normally don't care about the numbers of box office. I don't think how much a movie makes indicates how good it is, i.e., Transformers 4. But this movie will probably make back its budget by Monday. The budget was $42 million. It's already at, I think, 26 already. So, all right.
There we go.
There you go.
50 Shades of Grey. Go out and see it now. And then I know R. Kelly, like, hey, this is a bitch. I was already doing this. I was peeing on him. I could have put that out.
There's none of that in the movie.
See, then this is softcore, man. It ain't going hard. Then. But anyway, that's the sequel. Next up, we got another big movie that just came out. It's a comic book based off of a comic book.
What else?
Kingsman, The Secret Service, and Q-Storm. You've had an opportunity to see this movie. What did you think?
Well, I just got back from it a couple hours ago. And so I haven't – I'm going to sound disjointed because I haven't had a chance to make my thoughts more clear or elucidate my
– this Nick.
For this,
go ahead, man. Go on now.
You got a problem with a black man has a vocabulary?
No, nope. Go ahead now.
Sorry, the
that's
show
Jimmy doesn't infringement from Stephen A. Smith, dude.
Say what?
The show does.
I said that's gimmick infringement from Stephen A. Smith.
And the show doesn't come with a thesaurus, so we.
Well, some of us don't need one.
Well,
go ahead, Q. Go ahead.
All right, so. I would say that it was overall entertaining. It starts off. It's one of those films that I thought I knew. I mean, I knew what to expect going in. It's going to be a takeoff, a send up of the spy genre, and obviously that makes that invites comparisons to James Bond. But I was the first thing that took me was that I love the whole British aspect of it in terms of. It felt like it was a British production because they didn't care about the lower tier Cockney accents. I mean, I understood most of it because I'm into that kind of stuff. But I love the realistic feel of it in terms of the lower end British culture.
Hey, Q, can you do us a favor real quick? Can you tell us what the movie's about? And then and you go into how you found
out? Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I figured most people knew. It's basically, it's about a Secret Service spy organization that I'm assuming works even under more secret circumstances than MI6. And they are basically a group of agents that are charged with saving the world when villains strike. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. And there's one central character who is what you would call a chav, or like a lower tier white person in Britain, whose father was a member of this organization. And I don't think this is spoiling anything, but he gets killed on a mission. And his son grows up, and the father's friend, who is the head of the organization, enlists the son as a member of the secret, the Kingsman. The Kingsman is the Secret Service organization. And I think the first half of the film, or the first third of the film, I was all in. I mean, it was great seeing the staid, conservative British Colin Firth kicking ass. And I love the way it was shot. It had sort of that Sam Raimi quality to it, where the shots were just as outlandish as the action, but the action was impeccably choreographed. And it was a send-up of James Bond, and at the beginning, it kind of took the James Bond tropes and kind of turned them over on the air, made something original about it. But as the film went along, it seemed like it forgot that it was doing something with James Bond and making it more original, and it seemed to fall into the exact same tropes that you would see in a James Bond film. So it kind of lost me towards the end. And the other thing that kind of put me off was, I mean, someone made a bold choice. They went out on a limb to cast Samuel L. Jackson as the villain, because he comes off as a cross between, with his New York cap and his chains and his kind of casual wear, he comes across as a mix between Spike Lee and a character from Fat Albert.
You know what? He reminded me of a Russell Simmons kind of.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. Yeah. So I mean, I kind of applaud the casting director for making that choice. I mean, obviously there are racial overtones there. Is he cooning with this lisp, and he's always got a smile on his face? Yet, and still, you wonder. Well, you know, he is. You know, we as I'm going to say we. I'm being tribal. As African Americans, we want to see more of a presence on screen. And this was a case where they just happened to cast an African American actor in the villainous role, which, you know, you got to say, well, hey, he's playing a villain, but he played it so campy. I mean, he definitely stood out, but it's probably not the choice I would have made. And it'll be interesting to see if there's any kind of backlash over that. I haven't seen any thus far, but this is the first weekend. But I would say overall, it's definitely worth seeing. It has a mixture of Star Wars. There's a little bit of X-Men with the jet coming out of the front yard. There is a lot of, if you're familiar with the comic book, which I had to stop reading because it got a little bit too out there. I think it was Garth Ennis who was writing the book Crossed.
Yeah. That's a lot of it.
I love it.
There's a lot of that in it. And obviously, you know, any spy movie, James Bond or any other spy genre is there. The last thing I'll say is that the biggest nitpick I have is that there was too much intercutting between the training of the new Kingsman and Samuel L. Jackson mounting his plot against the world. It should have been more chapterized, where we saw, like they did in X-Men First Class. We had one scene or one montage where they were all being trained, and then we got on with the story of the conflict. Here they kind of cut it between, and it kind of diminishes both. And also at the end, the main character all of a sudden develops these fighting skills that we never see him training.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that does not make the movie not worth seeing. It does kind of fall apart at the end, but I would recommend going to see it.
All right. I had an opportunity to see this movie as well, and I echo a lot of what Q said. I will say this. If you've seen Wanted, Kick-Ass. These movies are from the same cloth. They're actually written by the same guy. Mark Millar created these those characters in this story. And this, to me, almost plays like Wanted. You know, it's the same. The our main hero, his dad, is a part of this organization. He's killed. And then somebody from the organization comes and recruits him to train him up to be an agent in this organization. And then there's this, you know, bigger story going on with the villain that he has to sort of become the guy to save the world. And this movie plays exactly like that. This movie has the same sort of ultra violence as Kick-Ass. The action scenes are super over the top, gory, slow-mo, spinning. And it's all cool. Like, it looks dope. But I kind of felt after a while, I was kind of like, okay, I've seen this sort of stuff so much. They didn't really show me anything that wowed me because, again, it played like Kick-Ass to me in action. It's very cool to watch it. You know, there's a young lady, the bad guy lady, she has knives on her feet. She doesn't have any feet. They're blades. It's just hysterical. She's just walking around with these blades, and no one seems to question, like, why the fuck is she walking on blades? But she's a kick-ass kung fu slicing people. That's all cool. The Kingsman Secret Service dudes are all Batman fighter quality, which I didn't understand. Like, how were they able to be that badass and just take out everybody? One of the parts of the plot, I spoil it a little bit, is that Samuel Jackson is trying to take over the world by causing everybody to go crazy and attack each other. And he's going to do that with SIM cards in your phone or tablet. Right. And so if he can give everyone free internet, then he can turn a switch and turn everybody crazy. So there's one point in this movie, which is probably one of the craziest scenes in this movie for sure, and one of the craziest scenes I've ever seen in a long time, where there's this massive slaughter in a church. And what's that church? It's the real what's the real life church where they're like, they always protest like gay
Westboro
people?
Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah, it's kind of based off of that, I would assume. And it's hilarious. Like, they show the preacher in there, this white preacher, and he's just going in. And then I was tripping because he was like, "You got the Jews and the niggers," and I'm like, "What the fuck?"
And he's just, it's like, what are we? It was like, what are we watching all of a sudden?
Yeah, it was a whole different movie. And that whole scene when the massacre starts, I'm like, they're killing people in the church. I mean, it was so brutal. It was way over the top.
It was more violent. That movie was much more. My son, my 8-year-old son, said, "Can I go see it?" I almost considered taking him.
Yeah, it's interesting that 50 Shades will get more attention because people think of the sex. But I would say that this movie would probably be more damaging in terms of the violence. It's just such a violent movie. Like, and I'm into that, but I was just like way over the top. But suffice to say, I thought the movie was just okay. I thought it was well done. But to me, I had seen all this before. Again, it reminded me of so much of Watchmen. I'm not Watchmen, but Wanted. That I was just kind of like, eh. I will say this. The last part of the movie, it goes so over the top when he has to rescue that princess. You remember what she said to him, Q? Like, what she'll do to him?
That was a little misogynistic, I have to say.
The movie ends with the close-up of a woman's ass. And they're about to go in. And I was like, this movie is crazy.
But from what I'm hearing from both of you guys, it loses, it doesn't really have a third act, or the third act is
It does. It's just over the top, campy, and it's not, I wouldn't take this movie serious at all. It is a cartoon to me. It was a cartoon.
I would say that it definitely has a third act. The only problem, as I said, with the third act, it doesn't maintain the originality.
Okay, that's what I mean. It kind of runs out of ideas by the third act, and it
becomes a straight. You could see James Bond doing the same thing,
right,
does in the third act. Whereas in the first and second acts, they kind of make it original.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah,
tropes.
It's a spoof. I think the movie is it's just a spoof, and it's a well done spoof. But from looking at the poster and the trailers, you can see it's a send-up of every, I mean, even name check a lot of shit in this, like James Bond, Jack Bauer, a lot of stuff. So it's all, you know, they're doing it on purpose. So I don't fault them for that.
Now, what do you think about, what do you think about them adding an Obama avatar?
That was hilarious to me. It was stupid, but I was just like, okay, that's funny. I don't know. I was curious how many people got that when they first show Samuel Jackson sitting there talking. I was like, okay.
Well, you see a shot of the White House and you see a black man sitting there. I think it's pretty clear.
Well, yeah, but at first I was kind of like, okay, really? I was like, okay. It reminded me of Empire. I was like, this is so absurd.
I was about to ask that.
Yeah, I was like, this is so absurd. But, you know, I actually thought Samuel Jackson's character was funny because it was so stupid. The lisp is so retarded. It made me laugh when he spoke because it was just so over the top. But I was kind of thinking, are they going to somehow, is this going to play in the story or something? But it just doesn't. He just talks like that. And I was like, okay, this is just out there. It's an out there movie, man.
One of the days when I saw the trailer, I was going to post on Facebook, like, all right, here's Sam Jackson. Just because someone sends you a script doesn't mean you have to do it.
No, he's not bad in the movie. Well, what just, I mean is he's that, playing I mean, Sam over the top. He's playing. He's always the same dude. But
I mean, he's in like 8 movies a year. It's like, dude, just I know you came into fame late in life, and you know that's all good. But slow down a little bit. You don't have to. Hey, just,
let
you know,
get his money. Let him get his Kevin Hart on now.
I was about to say Kevin Hart too.
Well, that's a whole different diatribe.
The thing that I'm conflicted about Sam Jackson is that. You know, he does stand out as unique and original in this film, but it's also like maybe it's one of those times where you did want something a little bit more traditional, like the traditional well-dressed villain, because his tone is completely like. There's one scene where he invites the head of the Kingsmen, Colin Firth, who his code name is Galahad. They're like the Knights of the Round Table. And it's clear he's villainous, right? And he invites him into dinner, and he's just shucking and jiving and smiling and laughing. And they build it up with this whole elaborate feast, and the woman brings in a tray of McDonald's.
That was funny, though.
And I'm like, I guess that's funny. I guess they're struggling to make this character so, what's the word, eccentric. But sometimes, you know, less is more. You know, we know you're doing James Bond. That's why we don't question the fact that this black man who's dressed in orange and pink has a sidekick who has blades on her feet.
Well, you know, the big question about his character, I only read the first issue of this book. Has anyone else read this, the actual book, The Secret Service? Because is he played like that in the book? So that would be the question. I'm curious. Is he Samuel Jackson in the book?
Is this story directly lifted from the book?
It is. I mean, it's as direct as Kick-Ass and Wanted was, right? I believe Mark Hamill was in the book as well. He's in this movie.
Mark Hamill or Mark Hamill's character?
I just heard an interview with Mark Hamill, and he was talking about how Mark Millar called him when he was writing the book saying, can I use your likeness and use you in the book? Now, I don't know if it was changed from being Mark Hamill in the book to being a lookalike Mark.
That's weird because he's not playing Mark Hamill.
Right. But he's in, but his character, he plays, well, it's like, you know, just like in Wanted, right? They had Eminem be the guy in the book and Halle Berry was the girl, but I'm curious was in the book. Was it Sam Jackson lookalike as well? Cause that's what Mark Millar does. And he created the black Nick Fury of Sam Jackson. So I'm wondering are he playing the same sort of tropes from the book in the movie, or did they create Sam Jackson's character specifically for the movie? I don't know. I'm asking a question.
I mean, to ask Luke, to ask Mark Hamill if I can use your likeness, he's a fat old man now.
Well, he's a big fan of Mark Hamill, so he wanted to be nice. That's why he did it.
Okay.
Which I respect. I mean, you know, at least a guy cares.
I guess I'm saying if you use Mark Hamill's likeness, you're going to use the likeness from 1977 Star Wars.
I don't know.
Otherwise, who knows what he looks like now? He looks like an old man. You draw an old man. No one knows it's Mark Hamill.
Apparently he did. Right. All right. Any last words on the Kingsman?
Not necessarily related to Kingsman, but did want to get into real quick, and this is kind of a good segue. We tested a little bit about originality in Hollywood and what the flop of Jupiter Ascending means for that. So I looked up the top 10 movies for the past 5 years, from 2010 to 2014. Out of 50 movies, anyone want to guess how many original titles are were in the top 10 out of 50?
I want to say 5.
You said the past how long?
Since 2010.
5.
Yeah. I'd say 3. Wait, of the 50? I'd say about 7.
Define original.
Like, not based on another medium, not a sequel, not based on a comic book, not based on a TV show, an original thought, script, idea.
Since 2010, I say none.
You know what number one is.
Mr. Dean, do you care to guess?
I don't know, 3?
Crystal?
I was going to say, like, 2.
Gold Star to Q-Storm, 5.
Boo. I'm right again. How about that?
Inception and Despicable Me in 2010. There were none. There were no original movies in 2011 that made the top 10. 2012, Brave and Ted, which can be argued those may or may not be original works. 2013, Gravity. And there were none in 2014. So,
what year did Avatar come out?
Avatar was 2008 or 2009.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, you know, Hollywood hasn't been original for quite some time. So
is that a question of how many movies were in the top 10 that were original, or how original was Hollywood? I'm sure there was a lot of original movies that weren't blockbusters.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying things that made money, because this is, I mean, Hollywood is in the business to make money. They're not going to, you know, waste the time to green light an original movie like Jupiter Ascending, although I still argue that really wasn't all that original, when they can, you know, they can green light, you know, Rush Hour 4 and I know, bad example, or, you know, the Wedding Ringer 2. You know, they can or Ride Along to or whatever. They can green light that and guarantee to get their budget back, money back, you know, via the box office versus taking a chance on original work and it flopping.
Well, I think it's more a question of taking a risk on an original big budget movie. I mean, you could argue probably every movie in the top nominated for Best Picture is an original picture for some degree and probably would never be a blockbuster. So, I mean, they green light original movies all day. Will they green light $175 million, you know, original work? Probably not.
But yeah, I guess my point is, are they going to put the big marketing campaign behind, you know, behind a Chef or behind Boyhood or you know, something like that? Are they gonna do that? Or are they gonna all their budget money goes to you know, Fast 20, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a different question.
The problem I have with that, I did read some article about what does the failure of Jupiter Ascending, what does it portend for Hollywood? The problem I have is that Hollywood is just full of idiots, because the reason this original property failed is because it sucked.
Right. I agree.
There are a number of original properties in the past, maybe not the past 10 years, but I know there are a number of original properties that are very good. And it's just whoever's choosing the scripts and taking them to their bosses at the studios, they need to be fired and replaced by people who have a little bit more discernment.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it wasn't Interstellar was original, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, so there's a lot of original stuff. I think.
Wait, I don't know how original that was.
Well, it's not based on a book or something, right?
Well, it's funny you bring up Interstellar, because I've got 2014 list pulled up. It was number 16 for 2014 for most successful, and that was the first original film. So there are 15 films above it that are based on they're either a sequel or based on a comic book or TV show or a remake, reboot, reimagining, whatever you want to call it.
I mean, I think this movie Jupiter Ascending speaks more to what will the industry allow the Wachowskis to do anymore. Like, I can understand on a faraway level why Warner Brothers said, okay, these guys have, you know, they gave us the Matrix. Maybe they have an original idea. They have some cachet, somewhat of cachet, that we're going to throw them a blank check to make this movie. Now, they gambled on that and lost, right? But I don't think they're going to ever be able to get that kind of a leeway ever again.
Unless they
hand in a damn near, they probably have to literally agree to do another Matrix movie before Warner Brothers would be like, okay, we're going to let you do whatever the hell you want to do. Like, I think they've spent all of their good graces at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
Didn't they do Speed Racer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they don't have any good graces. That was some bullshit.
But they also gave them, was it Cloud Atlas, which is another big budget movie. It's tied to a book. But again, they gambled on that and lost. I did like the movie. But I'm pretty sure they're like, we're not going to give them blank checks anymore. They're going to have to do what we want them to do. From now on, to me, the only person I could see has the cachet would be Nolan, right? He's proven, hey, I'm going to do your shit. Now, can I do something I want to do? And they're going to bankroll him because he's earned the right. I could see Josh Whedon being the same kind of dude. Like, okay, this guy gave us Avengers 2, big blockbusters. What do you want to do now, Josh? We'll let you do something. You've earned the right to sort of get that leeway. But I don't think there's too many other directors who they're going to give a lot of money to just do some your own shit?
I think Scorsese, Spielberg, Tarantino are probably the three that can do whatever.
Right,
they
have cachet to do that. As I'm saying, like you have to kind of get some work under your belt to say, yeah, you can go ahead and blow this money, and if it don't work, it don't work. But I don't think it has anything to do with. Is Hollywood going to allow? Is they going to allow these certain directors who have no track record? No, they never. Going to be an amazing movie.
Sean, question for you. Of the 10 films that are nominated Best Picture, I'm looking at this, and I know American Sniper. Well, how many of these are based on original? Original? Whiplash. Grand Budapest Hotel, right?
That is, yeah.
Theory of Everything, right?
I think that's based on a book.
Boyhood?
That's original.
Okay, Selma.
Well, it's based on a book.
It's based on a book?
I think it's based on a book, or two books, actually. But
all right, Birdman.
Birdman's original.
All right, so, I mean, 4 out of the 10, is that, 40%? If Hollywood punishes originality, and I'm looking at this, I got 4 out of 10 movies that are based on original property, that are original, I think that's short-sighted.
I agree. But how much money did those movies make, though? I know you don't have the answer. You don't have the answers, Q.
I don't know how much.
That was a joke. I know you don't have the answer.
I don't know how much money they made, but the studios are fucking happy that their films that they produced are Oscar nominated. I know that much.
Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, and I get to work the quote in again, it's a business, right? I mean, that's the bottom line is to make money. Let's put it this way. So we could say Matrix is to Purple Rain, then Jupiter Ascending is to Graffiti Bridge, right?
Pretty much. But, you know, I think on a business level, they're going to green light the movies. They're going to green light the Tyler Perrys. They're going to green light the... What's the one with Jennifer Lopez? I'm sure they made buku money off of that.
The Boy Next Door.
How much did that movie cost? Like $4 million or $5 million, I heard, or something stupid like that. And it made $30-$40 in the first week. So they're always going to go with the ones that are the easy bank movies, the Kevin Hart movies. That's easy money. You know, but will it affect the big budget original? Of course, but I think that was already affected before Jupiter came out. That's just common sense. Like, why would you give somebody $175 million sight unseen? Like, they would have to be the director. They're bankrolling the director, not bankrolling the concept of that movie. So yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with the original. It's point of, is that director, are we worth giving that money to that dude to do it? And I don't think that's going to stop, because there's always going to be directors who, like you said, oh, who, Spielberg? He'll do whatever he wants to do. Original.
Yeah, to answer your question, The Boy Next Door costs $4 million to make, and it's already grossed $34
million. Yeah.
Which is about $30 million too much that it should have made.
Well, that, there you go. That again, that proves that original properties can make money.
I would also hope original and good could make money, but they can all be Pulp Fiction, right? So.
See, my thing is I don't mind films that are in franchises as opposed – I'm all for that. Like, I'm all for a new James Bond, a new MCU, a new DCU film, a new Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. But when it comes to, like, remakes / reboots, I'm like, no, try something new. And I definitely don't like just, like – I wouldn't call Rush Hour a franchise. I just call those a set of sequels, as there isn't a continuing story, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, that's getting ready to be a TV show, by the way.
I'm fine with that.
It is?
I am fine with that, although they already did that in the late 90s.
Yeah, they did.
Which show?
Rush Hour. It's in development for a TV show.
No, which show in the 90s was already that? You...
It had Arsenio Hall and Sonny. He's a
Martial
guy.
Law. Martial
yes,
Law.
Yes, yes. It lasted that. Like... It lasted like 3 or 4 episodes.
I mean, it was their take on it. You know, they had the wisecracking black man and the martial artist that was supposed to be like Jackie Chan. Yeah.
He was like a heavy set dude, right?
Yeah,
Sammo Hung,
right.
Yes, yes.
Arsenio was in that?
Yeah.
They brought him in like a little while later.
He was the coon.
I vaguely remember that.
Oh, come on. He was
the coon. That's fucked up.
So they're making a Rush Hour. What happened to the Beverly Hills Cop show?
I think that got
fell by the wayside.
Yeah, that got blasted.
Ooh, Marshall Law had Kelly Hugh in it. Go ahead.
They did the pilot of that, and I don't think it got picked up. A Beverly Hills.
God damn, she's 47.
Speaking of TV, we got to get the opinions on this. Empire continues to do its thing week after week. This week we got to see another side of Cookie.
Yeah, you mean another side? We've seen that side before.
No, we got to see a stunt. We got to see a body.
Well, whoever it was, I don't know. That was some TV, man. Like, what did you guys think of the last episode? Crystal, our guest, do you watch Empire?
I have not watched the new one yet. No.
Oh. Okay. What do you think about the show in general?
It actually
keep it real.
To me,
keep it real.
it looks a little too ratchet for me, honestly.
Too ratchet.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a big fan of like Terrence Howard though anyway, so.
What do you mean, man?
Why is he always crying?
That's the way he talks, dude.
Did he have a stroke or something? He had a stroke. Did he have a stroke?
Thank you.
In some point in life.
Well, I saw a headline that it says something about like black people aren't ready for men kissing or something, and ratings pummel. But
ratings are going up.
Yeah, that's why I'm curious. What do you guys think about it? They actually did show, you know, guys kissing, and was that even a big deal? Or
how can they make that statement when How to Get Away with Murder has? Well, you said blacks kissing, so maybe okay, never mind. Then I rescind that statement.
But his boyfriend isn't black though. His boyfriend's Mexican.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll say it then. How are they going to make that statement when on How to Get Away with Murder is doing very good in the ratings, and they have two gay men kissing damn near every week?
Ew.
Well, Empire is not. I mean, it every week the ratings go up for that show, so it's definitely catching new viewers each and every week. So even going up against Blackish, now I don't know what the numbers for Blackish are now, if they've gone down, you know, because of Empire. But I gotta say that ending and spoiler if you hadn't seen it, I was like, really? You're gonna cast this person and have the same name? Now I hope they're not trying to say that that's the same, you know, person. But I just thought, I was like, oh Lord, Lord, Lord. Jesus take the wheel.
Yeah, I did totally peek the fact that they named that woman Olivia. Like, come on. Like, what are you doing?
Here's what I'm saying. This is a Huffington Post says Empire test audience ratings plummeted after Fox series featured gay kiss. It says Washington Post entertainment reporter Cecilia Kang offered Huffington Post a discussion on the show. Says recalling a discussion she had with co-creators Lee Daniels and Danny Strong. Kang said the initial response to the scene was indicative of the homophobia that many have discussed existing within parts of the African-American community. The test audience they showed this to, the ratings plummeted, she said. They did not like that scene at all. But much to the show's creators' credit, they refused to remove the scene. She went on to cite the discussion with the co-creators, saying that they are aiming to push buttons with this show and deal with real issues. So I guess it was a test audience.
Well, you know, my question I have to ask is, I'm just not going to take that on face value. I want to know, what was the makeup of that audience? Are they saying that it was all black African Americans? Was it?
Well, actually, it doesn't even say race. It just says a test audience, so it could be all kind of races. So there's nothing to say about
black
people.
What was the age of the audience? You know, because that plays a part, because older non-blacks are a little homophobic. So yeah, you just can't put that out there and say it speaks to the black community when you don't even give a background.
Right, and be clear. That's why I read the headline. It doesn't say it speaks to the black community per se. It says Empire test audiences ratings plummeted.
Well, to answer Sean's question, I'm looking at the final ratings for Wednesday. Empire actually improved upon its lead in American Idol. American Idol had a 10.66 viewers. Empire had 11.96, and against actually beating Modern Family, not only in overall viewers, but in the key 18 to 49 demo, 4.8 to Modern Family's 3.3. Blackish dropped to 2.1 in the key demo, 6.83 million viewers overall. So it's killing it. Wow. But hell, it's killing Modern Family as well.
Yeah, I mean that's big. ABC's got to be like, you know, what's going on here? They might have to move the show.
I mean, probably not. I think it's mostly American Idol with the lead in, but no. Again, Empire is improving upon the ratings. So,
That just means more like, I don't watch American Idol, never have, never will. So I'm not a lead in for that. So I'm tuning in to Fox at 9 o'clock. To watch it. I'm not watching Idol, so I'm not included in that bunch that's carrying over. So there's a whole group of people that are and causing that increase in the ratings, not watching Idol.
Let me ask you guys this question and get your opinions. With the success of Empire, do you think that tells the TV executives now, we got to get some black shows like Empire on our networks?
Oh yeah.
Are this the dawn of the new ratchet age coming forward?
I've always said that the entertainment industry, Hollywood, is reactionary. You get one hit show. I mean, hell, look at Idol, right? How many shows did Idol spawn? Look at Survivor. How many shows did that spawn? That's what they want. Oh, let's give them that. Let's keep giving them that. So we'll probably have a show like Empire that's set in the sports world. And, then we'll get one. What?
No, I'm saying, that's actually kind of good idea.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, credit me. Send me the check. we'll get one set, in different worlds. You know, that's Hollywood. That's what they do. They, again, it's that's what they want. Let's give them that. And let's give them that until they don't want it anymore.
Well, to play Michael Dean here, I've
done that already.
Yes, yeah, shoot. To play Michael Dean, I think that we're four episodes in, and I think I'm gonna tone back some of the rhetoric on the show. The show is ridiculous.
Yes,
the show has a lot of bullshit and it's a lot of leaps of faith. But I'm gonna tone back the claims of ratchetness. As I, and Q can feel free to jump on. Q can feel free to go at me.
Feel free.
But most of the ratchet is really just Cookie. I mean, if you look at some of the other characters in there,
Portia.
I mean,
Portia is hysterical.
Portia.
Is that the big
and,
burly looking chick?
Yes.
Yeah. No, not the bigger one. The smaller burly looking chick. The bigger one is
Precious.
She's been on there in a couple of weeks.
You know what? She hasn't, has she?
You know, so I mean, hopefully they realize that the fact that there's a small amount of Ratchet that's totally being carried by Cookie, who Lee Daniels and the creative team go out of their way to show, yeah, she puts up this front, but she's really still in love with Lucius, and she does have this creative mind, that hopefully they realize that it's a larger package than just the Ratchet that Cookie brings to the show. But, you know, executives aren't very nuanced when it comes to observing things.
You know, I gotta kind of agree with Ant, and I gotta call bullshit on some continuity here. So, they had originally said that Lucius like made Empire, like his music, his song was the thing that, you know, catapulted them to the top. Now, Courtney Love is supposed to be there, and I'm assuming they're Tina Marie. I mean, they didn't come right out and say it, but
she was horrible.
I did not get that at all. Good one, Sean.
And it was funny that, you know, when she was singing the song and she was singing it terribly, and then, you know, Cookie said, take it all off, and da da da. And she goes and sings it.
That was a horrible scene.
I looked at Deborah, and I said, is that supposed to be good? Is that better? There's no difference. It's horrible. Why? I don't know why in the hell they, I mean, she looks like she's still on drugs. I mean,
plastic surgery nightmare, man.
And was she
supposed to be like an R&B singer, prodigy? Yeah.
No, not a prodigy.
Protégé is what I meant.
No. They claimed that it was her song that, you know, basically made Empire, made the label.
She's like, I kept it afloat. That's what she was saying. I kept you guys afloat when nobody else was hitting. I almost thought she was like a washed up Madonna or something. I don't know. That's why.
I know what it was. That was supposed to be Mariah Carey's role. Tell me if that wasn't.
Well, I think Mariah's going to be on the show.
Yeah, Mariah's going to be on the show. I don't get that casting. I mean, I don't get the casting.
Trying to reach out beyond the hip hop audience, I guess.
Yeah. Drip drop.
But seriously, Courtney Love, though, I'm still just kind of baffled by that casting. I mean, it's actually kind of perfect because she's had her drug problems, but it's like nobody thinks of Courtney Love as a great singer.
Has she been in any other Lee Daniels productions before?
I don't think so. I can look that up.
Okay, because I know he's kind of pulling people there.
Can she act?
Oh, they also had Raven Simone. Raven Simone, right at the end.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Yeah. She Courtney Love's been nominated for an Oscar for Larry Flint.
Larry Flint.
Yeah,
Flint. And she just played herself in that movie, pretty much.
So she played herself on Empire,
except for she's not an R&B singer.
She's not a singer at all.
That's subject to interpretation.
What's the other show she was in recently?
She was in Sons of Anarchy recently.
That's right.
So, I mean, I'm tone down the rhetoric against Empire because, you know, those first two episodes were horribly stereotypical. But I think now it's still over the top bullshit, but I don't think it's detrimental to the black community.
Well, I only got one beef with Empire, and I've said it repeatedly. Even Mr. Dean just posted something on Facebook kind of relate to that. Bring back the process. That's all I got to say.
I agree.
I want the process back. Damn it.
Want that curl.
But you're talking about Terrence Howard doesn't have I'm not watching the show. He doesn't have his process anymore?
No, it disappeared after the pilot.
That was just to get us in the door.
The flashback scene?
This guy's a do-rag on flashback.
But I have a question for Crystal. I mean, as the only female on the show today.
What's up, Drew?
Can you please help explain to me why is Cookie mad at Lucius's now fiance? I mean, as far as I know, Cookie and Lucius were married. She went to jail. She took the fall for a bid. Lucius blew up, divorced her ass, and then he hooked up with this girl. I can understand being jealous, but why is she just so disrespectful to this woman that, in my opinion, I mean, maybe I missed it, that woman has – I'm sorry, I keep calling her that woman because I can't remember her name – has never said or done anything disrespectful to Cookie. So as a female, can you help me understand that?
It's probably about pride. That's all I can really say about that. Just the fact that you know, she now has what used to be hers, and that still pulls at females. Like, it's just one of those things that, you know, women just end up doing. They're like, oh, well, that was mine. I don't care if whatever, but that's mine and I want it back. And like, it's just, that's all that I see it as. It's just pride talking.
It's like, I helped build this and then you just come in and reap the benefits.
Exactly.
Of my family and everything, position. But damn, Cookie came in there ready to go to work, boy. Oh, my God.
I'm not mad at this.
Well, let me ask you. Did she, again, I'm not watching the show. I've only seen the first episode.
Whatever, Q. So she lying.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to catch up on The Wire and Flash.
Ain't heard a damn thing from you about The Wire, but okay.
Because I'm falling behind on that, too, because I'm watching The Flash and Sleepy Hollow. But, so she came to the dinner. I saw the scene. She came to the dinner.
Oh, you saw that.
But wasn't the dinner, I assume that the dinner was meant to celebrate them getting engaged. So she came dressed like that, not knowing?
She didn't know that was what she was there for.
The previous episode, she got a rose from Terrence's character, which she thought somebody else gave her the rose. But when he told her at the end of the episode, he actually put the rose there. I think she was thinking that he was trying to rekindle something. And wasn't there that anniversary?
Yeah, or something. Yeah, that's what it was. Because I think the first anniversary, he gave her the rose, and you know, this is her first time out of jail, and you know, he's like, you know, we're not together, but I still respect you as, you know, my wife, my ex-wife, and the mother of my kids. So, you know, here's a rose for our anniversary that we had.
He's an idiot.
I agree. I can see both sides of that, but that is, he's like, nah, dude, you probably don't do that. I can see, you know, you want to pay your ex-wife respect, especially since she just got out of jail and she's in your life like that. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fine line.
Well, you know, he's trying to placate her, but he's not going about it the right way because he's got to keep her on her good side. He's got to stay on her good side, right? Mm-hmm. But the things that he does, you know, especially with the rose, you know, gives a second thought to what he's doing. Like, dude, just, you know, I understand what you're doing, but you gotta, you know, she ain't all there. You know that. So slow your roll.
Now, the one thing that I do kind of have a problem with that I ain't gonna say is detrimental to the black community, but I kind of don't like the way the position it is the fact that, I wish I remember her name. I'm gonna fuck look this up. Terrence Howard's Lucius's fiance. She's a mix of mixed race, and she's supposed to be this proper Southern bougie debutante and whatnot.
What the fuck does that word even mean?
You know what the hell he mean? Go on now.
Come on, that's what I'm saying. Don't even fret.
What does that word even mean? Why don't you spell it?
Which word are you talking about?
Bougie, whatever the fuck that means.
Bougie. Snooty, shadiddy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
it's not a black thing either. All cultures have said, well, I ain't gonna say all cultures, but white culture as well have called people bougie, so we're not gonna say that.
Snobby would be another word.
Let's say snobby then.
Well, let the man speak high.
He's not telling you how to run your website, bro.
Oh.
Shots fired.
That's enough to fake Spike Lee talking shit.
Oh.
All right, I gave you that one. That was good.
He's like, you know, he had that in the chamber for a while. He's like, he was waiting. He's like, the cue, come on, go ahead. I got this cop for you. Anyway, Annika. Her name is Annika. Anyway, so the thing that I felt the what they were telling that I felt could be detrimental to the black community is you have this proper and prim that they're calling her a bougie. She's a mixed race, half black, half white, and she comes from I guess polite society. And what I'm seeing is that they're going like Cookie's saying, "Oh, you don't need her. That's the wrong type of girl for you. Need like a ride or die ratchet, pretty much a ratchet chick like me." And I feel like that's kind of like the wrong image to be sending. Like what is wrong with this female who isn't ratchet, who comes from this upper middle class family, who is proper, who is polite, who carries herself a certain way, who is educated and puts that out on Front Street? What is wrong with a black man at that having a woman like this?
Well, let me say this.
There's nothing wrong.
I don't think the show has an attitude towards her. The Cookie's character does have the attitude towards her. I don't think anybody else on the show has the attitude towards her. So I don't think that people, at least I hope, people wouldn't get the idea that there's a deeper, you know, realized feeling that Cookie, I mean, that they have, when it's just one character expressing in these feelings, not the entire show.
But
and I hope that made sense.
But sir, come on, you know that film and television, they do utilize one character to express overarching sentiment that they want to convey to the audience. You know that.
Well, I would agree.
Of course I know that.
But this whole show is doing that with every character. All of these characters are playing up, for the most part, on different stereotypes and different issues. I mean, he tells you right up front. One of the main ones I'm going to play up is the whole gay thing in black community. I mean, so this show is playing on all of that. But I think that's what makes the show great. It's not trying to save the community, per se. It's trying to play on all the racial stereotypes, all of the societal types, the hip-hop types, thug types, all of that stuff. And it's a campy show.
But true. But I think in the end, you'll see that the gay son will eventually get accepted by his father and will be a big star. I mean, this is
I don't think so, because that means the show would be over. Like, I think it's always going to have drama. Like, what they just did with the gay character at the end of this episode, so absurd. But, yeah. I mean, it's soap opera. It's supposed to be absurd. That's the only reason I'm watching this show, is because it's absurd. It's hilarious.
But what I mean is, it's like, you'll see the gay character, he will rise. He'll overcome. He'll be a success. So that'll prove all of the negative stereotypes wrong, because in the show, they'll depict him a certain way. They'll depict, you know, people have their issues with Cookie's character, but, you know, you can see that they're showing, like, yes, she may be this ratchet, but she's a very smart business person, and she was the driving force behind Empire's rise.
Yeah, but she's also a murderer.
Sure.
Yep. So, I mean, so I'm saying it's playing. None of these characters are played as people you want to actually take anything from.
You're not going to cue me. You're going to let me get the statement out.
I'm just saying, they showed her have somebody killed the last episode too. So ain't nothing they're going to tell you is going to take that away.
For her life, she was
wrong. She's a murderer. It doesn't take it away.
But what I was trying to say is that, okay, yes, that's the case. They're going to show you that, okay, despite this flaw, she's still a good person.
The flaw.
This
flaw. Being a ratchet is a flaw. Don't you agree?
Okay.
I thought you were talking about the murder part.
No. Being a ratchet.
Oh, they're good.
Despite this flaw, she's going to rise and be successful. So I'm just saying, despite this character going at Annika like this, calling her bougie, and you don't need no uptight, all that educated shadidiness, but I'm like, in the end, I mean, I think we can all see it. She's going to lose Lucius, and it's just going to be like, yeah, we proved it right that a black man don't need this half breed educated woman. He need a ride or die chick, and I'm like, that's kind of a dangerous thing to say.
The whole show is dangerous, though. Ant, come on now, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, you're trying to get logic from this show. It's not based on logic. It is a ratchet soap opera for today's world, and I can imagine she'll probably end up sleeping with Lucius' character at some point. The other girl will find out, and they're just going to keep introducing more twists and turns. That's the whole point of a soap opera. It's not supposed to have redeeming values in society, man.
And you mentioned Jamal. That's, I always get him confused. That's the gay character, right? Jamal, or is it Hakeem? Is the,
I think it's,
which one?
Jamal is the middle gay son. Yes.
Okay, Jamal. That's what I'm talking about.
Hakeem is Jamal, the ratchet rapper.
Jamal had two cliffhangers, you know, for his character. I mean, you know, he seems to be becoming more the focus of the show, because that damn, if I hear that drip drop one more time, I'm gonna hurt somebody. But you know, he was giving the interview with Sway, which I was hoping there was going to be some, you know, a little, you know, you ain't got the answers on joke there too, but you know,
that is kind of disappointing when you think about it.
Oh well, and I guess we could spoil it. You know, when he says, you know, no, there's no one special in my life. You know that even Deb went, ooh, that's cold. you know, knowing that he has, and then of course the end with Miss Raven Simone showing up with the package. Yeah, that I was like, what? And I'll be there next week.
See? There you go.
And I know better. But It was even funny. We were in the 50 Shades screening when Empire was on, so I didn't even get to watch it till like I think Thursday, and I'm sitting in the screening going, damn, is this thing over? I want to get over and see Empire.
All right, let's shift some gears. Let's talk about Mr. West, Mr. Kanye West.
Oh,
stay in the news. I got to give him credit. He stay in the news, boy.
Yeah.
So he has his new Adidas line, clothing line. Adidas Originals Yeezy Season 1. Now, I remember, and it's already been referenced on this show, where you don't have the answers, and he went on Sway, and he was talking about, you know, the fashion industry not giving him a chance, and you know, he's trying to crack in on that game. Now, I'm looking at the pictures of his fashion line. Bruh.
No.
What is this mess, man? And now I see why they wasn't trying to let you in. I mean, this is... I like art and everything, but this is that bullshit, man. Who's... Somebody else speak to me. What is this shit I'm looking at?
I couldn't tell you, man.
I'm looking at it. I'm going to see. Check it out right now.
I mean, this is not.
This bullshit.
Horrible, man. It's a ratted up sweater with no drawers on.
Okay. Yeah.
Bodysuits that look like some THX.
They're full body stockings.
Yeah, it look like something from the first Lucas movie. With stockings on and some fake backpack straps. What is it?
What link? Give me a link so I want to see this.
It's in the chat.
Huh?
It's in the chat. Here.
The Skype chat, sir. Well, I mean, everybody's saying that he's drawing inspiration from the first Matrix movie with, you know, with the Zion. I mean, if you look at it, go look at those pictures, you're like, you know what?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
No.
I can see that now that you say that.
Hold on. There's a woman wearing what looks like a sheer bodysuit or something like that.
THX 146 or whatever.
It's called a full body stocking.
No, superhero.
This is horrible.
Where do you wear that? I'm just curious. Where do you
Comic Con?
a Kanye West concert, I guess. Maybe when you with purchase of the clothes, you get a free entrance into his concert.
I'm looking at the models, and they all look like I'm going to kill my agent.
Well, you know, that actually, you might be right on that. But the other thing is apparently that's a Kanye West thing too. He doesn't smile. He wants you to look, you know, for bold and whatnot. And you're like, okay.
You know what's funny to me is like he has Kim Kardashian at home, you know, full body. Full body.
Mike, I know where you're going with that.
Full body. And I'm like, look at these women. I'm like, what the fuck? Where to meet, man?
Well, you got to understand the fashion industry. For some reason,
this ain't fashion. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah,
this looks like something I would see in the back of the train on Snowpiercer.
Exactly.
Did you see the brother with the white dreadlocks, though?
Yeah, I'm looking at
him. I was just looking at that picture.
What is up with this cat?
He looks like they just caught him trying to cross the Mason-Dixon line.
And the worst part about it is I don't know for you uncultured Negroes on the panel, but the worst part of it is you have Anna Wintour front row at this abomination.
Who is Anna Wintour?
Anna
Wintour, you mean?
Whatever.
Her.
I don't think it's Wintour, but whatever.
What is she known for?
She's the editor-in-chief of Vogue magazine, who was the basis for The Devil Wears Prada, that character.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and I'm like, you got her there, and this is what you present to her? Like, what the fuck?
Bravo, Strange.
This is ugly shit.
This is prison culture 1985.
This is apocalypse dressing, man.
The white bodysuits look like something from Logan's Run or something you might see in sci-fi.
Oh, wow. Did you see the one with the trench coat, the black trench coat all the way to the middle of the calves? What the hell? On this one sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I know is like Beck is somewhere laughing his ass off. Like, this nigga, what?
Beck is somewhere saying 1,000, 2,000. He counting them checks. I've taken to Facebook the past, well, since the Grammys, I guess, defending Kanye. I reposted my article I had written a while back. There's no defending this. I may have to pull the article.
The worst part about it is, God damn it, this shit gonna catch on. I just know
it. Better not. It better not.
Dude, when I saw those white guys wearing those skinny leg jeans, I was like, this is some bullshit. Brothers never wear that shit. 4 years later, what happened? The brothers were wearing that shit.
No.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I've seen they it. Are. They would get them. They'd be wearing them under their ass and be walking. They'd be doing the duck walk with the shit. But they had them damn skinny leg jeans on.
So you think this full body outfit thing is gonna catch on?
Nope. Hell no.
Crystal, okay, you gonna get you that. A pair? You gonna get you, Crystal?
No. I'm
maybe not that. I was speaking more to like the bruh in that gray big ass sweater with the cut off sweat. Pants, whatever that shit is. I was thinking more of that and the bruh man with the white dreadlocks. I'm telling you, I can see some brothers trying to rock that shit, thinking they fly.
I'm not trying to be funny, but some of these women, the thin women in the white stock, look like they just got liberated from Dachau.
Okay.
I know you don't know that. Let me.
That was cultured niggas up in here, boy.
That was a concentration camp in World War II. I know you didn't read up on history now. It was a.
Remember, he ain't seen Selma.
Huh?
I said, remember, he ain't seen Selma.
Right, yeah. So I know he ain't seen.
Now, if you had said Oshawott, I would have known that.
I'm sorry.
Oshawott. I shouldn't be the one to speak, damn. But damn, man.
You say wash the ass? What'd you say?
He said Wattstax. That's that movie. Wattstax. That had,
get off of Wattstax. The Barclays blew that up.
Did you mean Auschwitz, son?
Yeah.
Damn. No, what happened was.
See, that's different.
I was looking at the Kanye West stuff, and I was about to say, "Oh, fuck that," and tongue tied. No,
you said wash your ass. Okay, I got you.
All right, moving on. There's another heartwarming story. This is a good one.
Christina woke up.
Who?
The fact that Bobby Christina woke up.
She did.
Did she really?
I thought I heard that on the news.
Oh, man.
I don't know about that. Let me be clear.
I think we all heard that.
Yeah. But we do have some good news here. Powerball winner is mother of four who quit Walmart job to care for kids. One of the reported winners in Thursday night's $564 million Powerball drawing is a 26-year-old mother of four who quit her jobs at Walmart and McDonald's to care for her children, one of whom has cerebral palsy. It's Maria Holmes of Bushwick County, North Carolina, came forward on Thursday with what looks to be a winning ticket matching the Powerball numbers, bagging her one third of the massive jackpot. I think she's quoted as saying, "I wouldn't have none of it if it wasn't for God." She says, "I'm thankful that I can bless my kids with something that I didn't have. I've been struggling since I had them, but I wouldn't trade nothing because they're a blessing." I posted this on Facebook and I was saying, boy, baby daddies is going to be swarming on her.
Mm-hmm.
Someone call Maury Povich. Get him on the case.
You're going to see a lot of baby daddies sending them single roses and they're not going to have their current flings in the room when they show up.
Exactly. No.
Was it Ampu said she need to move out of where she's staying at now? Before they start kidnapping or trying to kidnap people?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Just from the little brief clips that I saw, that place looked a little run down. And, maybe the wrong element be like, we can get this real easy. Just take one of them kids. Shit.
Oh, man, come on.
And I'm just keep. Hey, yo.
Cats do be thinking like that.
Yes.
The real down and dirty. But,
real dumb ones.
Yeah, but this is a – I mean, just imagine, man, if you won the Powerball. I mean, it couldn't have been to a nicer – well, I don't know if she's nice, but a more deserving
that's
why. Well, I don't know, but I'm saying more of a deserving person. You know, she's got four kids, been struggling. This is a life changer, man. It changes the life of her children. Probably generational changing if they do the money right. 500.
That's the key thing right there.
Well, yeah, but man,
where is she from?
North Carolina.
Oh, hey, I think I've been specifically North Carolina.
Oh, you better get down there, boy. Hey. Better tell your wife, listen, babe, we going to let me do this.
I was about to say that. Hey, Sean, don't fuck up your marriage trying to get
this is a help of marriage, nigga. I'm about to get paid. Girl, go along now.
What was that movie back in early 2000 with Richard Gere? Was it Unfaithful?
Yeah.
The one where she got what's her name?
Diane Lane.
No, it was with
Robert Redford movie. You're thinking
the what? Woman? It was Demi Moore. She was offered
the money,
millions of dollars to sleep with someone.
Oh, a decent proposal.
Yeah,
yes, that's it.
I can see him making that movie over now that you say that. But anyway, that's another story. But yeah, man, oof, that's a lot
damn
of money.
Q, I'm watching. I'm looking at you on Facebook, and you and this Elaine May are going in, man.
Yeah, I had to put her in a place. I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, boy. Don't start and I won't be none. Now she know.
Here's a question. I saw another story where it was talking about a young man dressed up as a slave at his high school during the Spirit Week. And he dressed up as a slave. And I think he even had like a bag full of cotton. And he was dropping, you know, as he was walking around, like as if he was picking cotton or whatever. And I've asked this question before. I've talked about this before, but I wanted to ask this question to all of you guys and get your answers. You got to keep it real. So, reparations.
Okay.
They've been authorized, but the only way to get them, you know, you got to be a slave for 5 years. At the end of that 5-year term, you can get $5 million.
5 years a slave.
There you go. 5 years a slave. $1 million for each year as you serve.
The hell you be thinking?
So I'm going to go to Aunt Pooh first. Aunt Pooh, you had to serve, I'm not going to call it a slave, but you had to serve a family or a white person for 5 years. But at the end of that, you got $5 million. Would you do it?
I'd say no. Because, I mean, is it tax-free $5 million?
Sure, for you it's tax-free. Tax-free $5 million.
Okay, that's a little bit different.
Uh-oh. See, that's different.
I couldn't do it. First of all, I'm opposed to hard work for my goddamn self. I don't know about putting in hard work for somebody else. I mean, nah, I really couldn't do it. I figured, you know, if I could be a slave for five years for $5 million, then goddamn it, I could figure out something to get $5 million.
All right.
You would do it. You're saying you'd do it.
No, I said I wouldn't do it.
I think you would.
I can't work
in secret, you'd do it. You just say you went to the military or something.
Now, if you said sex slave for 5 years, then, you know.
To a dude?
Oh, hi.
Got real quiet.
I don't hear him saying no. What's going on here?
He's thinking about it.
And I lost my breath laughing.
He's processing it.
He's like, can I do that for 5 years?
Yeah, so, Q, what would you do?
Well, I'm just curious. I'm going to give you my answer, but I'm curious. Is it a racist couple? Are they treating me like a slave?
No. So it essentially it is not about racism at all. So
I want to get more information.
Sure. I'll set it up for you. Now, again, every person would be different, but essentially you could be just sort of like a butler, or you could be whatever. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be anything necessarily demeaning. That doesn't necessarily mean that it wouldn't be, but...
So they're
not
like
whipping you. They're not whipping you.
It's a job with deferred payment. Is that what you're telling me?
You had your chance, man. Come on. So, like, would it be like, you know, celebrities and stars, they have personal assistants. Would it be like that?
Well, it could be any person, but you would be, essentially, you'd be subservient to them. And you may even have to go live with them.
See, what I'm trying to get at, I know what you're doing with this. if it's like let's say Liam Neeson has a personal assistant who gets his laundry, who, you know, brings him coffee, mm-hmm. you know, drives him where he has to go, this and that. That's what a personal assistant in Hollywood does. Is it like that? That's what I'm asking.
It could be that, but they may tell you to wash their drawers. They may tell you to go cut the grass. They may tell you to go get the groceries. They may tell you to walk behind them as they go to the mall and carry their bags. I mean, you'd be subservient.
You know, Mike, I'm not saying anything, hearing anything that's going to be, you know, not worth $1 million a year.
Well, I mean, then you wouldn't do it, but Q, so it could be any of those things.
I'll be honest. I'll say this. I would struggle. I would talk to my wife about it. But I think we're doing well enough that I would not have to do that. We're not millionaires, but I think we're okay. We're set. But I would want to see what she thinks. But in turn, I think my initial reaction would be, "Man, that doesn't sound interesting to me."
All right. So you think about it, though.
I would think about it. Yeah, sure. Because right. there are legitimate jobs and respectable jobs where people do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
For a lot less money.
Yeah.
So you're saying, what are you implying, that it's not so bad a situation? Or
me?
Yeah.
Implying that the things Michael just listed, you know, isn't that bad. You know, being somebody's personal assistant for $1 million a year? Really?
Yeah. Now, if it were a degrading slave position, hell no.
Well, essentially, you are. I mean, again, you know how things are. Like, there's a lot of stuff in today's society that aren't on the surface. We're not discriminating against you, but it may be demeaning to you. You might be out and about, and you may see your child, may see you. Well, there's dad, but he can't speak right now because he has to have his head down and follow Mr. Johnson and go get
his
bags.
I would have to do that now anyway. If my wife brought my son to the set up in Harlem, mm-hmm. I'll have to say, "I can't talk right now, son. I got to go work."
That's a good rationale. I agree with you. Crystal, would you do it?
I'm on the fence. I don't think I would, honestly, but I think it's just the conditions. Like, I mean, it just depends on what exactly I would be having to do. Like, I mean, there's a limit to me on what I would and would not do. And even for, like, you know, millions of dollars, I don't know.
I'm gonna change my answer. Yes, I would do it. As I think about it. I'm not, as long as I'm not, yeah, here we go. There we go. Because I mean, I'm thinking about it in my head again. And Sean, I don't know what Sean's going to say, but he knows, I assume he knows, that a lot of people have PAs, and that's what they do for a living. They do it professionally. Right. So for 5 years, and I get away tax-free $5 million,
It could be a different job now. I'm not saying it'd be a PA. Again, they may have you go work in a field.
Well, you have to see. You're not being clear.
Well, no. I said it could be any of these things.
Change up.
No. I'm saying you would be subservient to people, whether they had you cutting a grass, whether you follow behind them. You wanted to go around the PA route, and I'm not doubting that, but I'm just saying it's not limited to that. You would have to work for a white person for 5 years. You would do whatever they tell you to do.
Mike, here's the ultimate question.
Sure.
Now, we could say that. Just let me get this out before you cut me off. We could say that some people might think that collecting garbage is degrading. Some people might think that cleaning toilets is degrading.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a job as I am getting employed, I'm employed, I'm getting a paycheck, I don't think any job should necessarily be considered degrading. It's when they call you out your name, or they deride you, they harass you. Those are the conditions that make a job degrading. So that's what I'm trying to get at. Are they treating us like slaves, and that we don't even have our own names? We get beaten. We are mistreated in this job.
Sure.
That's the question.
Yeah. No, they can't beat you. Again, it's almost like a job. Like, they can't discriminate you at a job. Does that mean that discrimination does not happen in corporations? It does, but that, you know, it's part of the game sometimes. Wow. Are there places, factories, where they overwork you? You're not supposed to. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it happens. Again, you may be placed in a home where it's cool. You might be having to go place to work at the trailer park white folks' house. But I'm just saying, you would have to do 5 years of service. I'm not really trying to put a limit on what it is. It's just that you would have to serve. I'm not saying you would be whipped. Or be, you know what I mean? They're not going to physically harm you,
Well, I say I would take the job at, depending on the answers I get out of the job interview once I ask my questions.
And let me be clear, I didn't put that into it, but this is, it would be like the military. Like, you don't, you're going into this. We'll tell you where you're going to be placed at. So you're either going to sign up or you don't. It'd be too easy if it was like you get to nitpick your job.
That premise is so
it's out there. I mean, yeah, it is.
Even when I sign up for the military, I determine if I want to go in the Navy, Army, Air Force, or Marines.
Sure, but we may put you in Afghanistan on the front line. You're not going to choose that.
But you know that going in that you might be
called. That's what I'm saying. So it's the same sort of thing. This is even less of a choice. You're either going to choose to serve or you're not. That may make you choose. That may make you change your answer, but
see, Ant, you're right. He a gold changer, motherfucker.
I may be. You're right. But I didn't. I didn't want you to get locked into thinking that you were being a PA and all that, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have to call to serve for 5 years. It could be anything.
Well, I have an interesting answer to that question. So you're saying, like, you know, being a servant, you know, washing dishes, washing clothes, cutting grass.
Could be anything.
To white people. I'm doing that already. So I would say, yes, I would do it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Deborah Hill.
That's a joke, people.
I do not know what this man just said. For my Irish kinfolk, I apologize as well.
That's a joke, people. God, that one didn't go over well.
But say your marriage, homie.
Who saw this season, this past season of Hell's Kitchen?
I've never even seen this.
Nobody?
No.
I did, sir.
I don't watch it.
Oh, wait, you saw it,
Ant? Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. Then help me out here. If you have to take this job as a slave and being subservient, but you have to act like the black guy on Hell's Kitchen, being a Mr. Shuffling and yeah, the boss. Now you have to do that as part of your subservience. Would you do it?
No.
That's what I think we're talking about here.
Yeah.
How about exactly. Bentley Farnsworth?
I hated him. I just want to kill him.
Do I have to wear his wardrobe?
Yes. I wear
it, that might be an upgrade for you, Q.
All right, I've seen your pictures now. Don't think I don't have eyes. Okay.
Personal.
And damn it, I'll drip. Never mind. Let's keep on moving.
Well, what would you say, Sean? You didn't give me an answer.
I'd be an umbrella holding motherfucker if it was what you call it, Bentley Farnsworth, just to be around Diddy. I don't know. You know, I'm just kind of making a joke that I'm doing that already, but you know. It really depend on how destitute I was and how much I needed the money. I think having self-respect and dignity and enjoying what you're doing is a little bit more important than money in your pocket. But that's just me.
Mm. All right. I'm curious what the listeners would do if that was offered. If that was our form of reparations that said you had to serve 5 years, $5 million. Some people that might be lining up for that shit. You know, it'd be interesting to see what after the 5 years, what people thought. Was it worth it? What did it do to them psychologically?
Say 5 years a slave.
Essentially.
Mm-hmm. Guys, ain't got anything else?
5 years is a long time.
It is. Any other topics? Anything else? Going once, going twice.
I never finished my rant.
Okay.
Nah, that's okay. Y'all don't want
to. No, go ahead. Go ahead. This could be good.
I just wanted to say, and then I do have to run because we're doing the dinner thing. That's how I bought some time to get onto the show.
So
all about negotiations.
So Q's already in a film, 5 years a simp.
Oh.
Yeah, what size are your mama's shoes again?
Oh. How Tony M's piece gonna feel? What?
I think you could tell me. All you have to do is bite down.
Oh. Wow,
that was
not a rant.
Get your bullshit out. Go ahead.
That's my Don Lemon. Homophobic. I was gonna say Michael Dean was right about The Walking Dead. It was some RC bullshit. And I didn't like the fact that everybody was so dramatic and crying when Beth died, and then when Tyrese died, they just showed us in a long shot. They showed the big ass out the car. What was that?
Here's what we think about you.
And Aunt, even though you're a line stepper, I'm going to say you did your thing hosting. Oh, but I got to call Michael Dean. I got to call you out.
Let's do it. Let's go.
I don't know how you're going to call into your own show. Mm-hmm. And not reclaim that shit. You supposed to be like Game of Thrones talking about, I reclaim this podcast in the name of the House of Dean.
Well, see. No, that's not.
See,
that ain't
I like
right,
you.
Man.
He has respect for me.
Keep it classy, baby. This is my man. Let my man do his thing. Let him shine. Everybody got a chance to shine, you know?
But it's your show.
See, he ain't
But there's
Prince.
No, there's no doubt about Prince. That.
He'll
I don't need
solo.
To be. Let that man, he put that together. You know what I'm saying? I came in as a guest. Can't we all be a family, bro?
like
show
I posted,
each other up.
Like I posted in the chat. Hater in the house.
Yeah, that was wrong, too. How are you going to use the image of a dead man to try to put me in my place?
Because I knew you couldn't respond with it. That's why. That's one. But two, that was his catchphrase.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Because I knew you wouldn't go hard on that because out of respect for Stuart Scott.
All right.
So was there any beef with me on the show this particular time, Q?
With you on the which show?
On the show you're speaking of.
Well, I already told you. I think you threw Ava under the bus, but that's
okay. I know what throwing someone under the bus means, and I don't see how in any shape, way, or form I did that.
Well, I mean, from the words of our fearless leader, he did say. Well, actually, forget it. I was going to say he said that everyone should go see Selma. And I think two of the people on the panel have not.
All right. Hey, Crystal, have you seen Selma?
I haven't, so make that three.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Q, go ahead. Go ahead, Q.
Now, see,
but then how could you say I'm pulling under the bus if I've seen the movie?
But you know, that's why I said I was going to withdraw that. You know, Big Sexy likes that. I like legal terms. I was going to withdraw that because you were throwing Ava under the bus, saying she was not robbed of a nomination.
Okay, that's not actually throwing her under the bus. That's our movie guy giving his critical analysis.
True,
which is throwing her under the bus.
Oh,
I mean, he not only threw her under the bus, he did a Suge Knight on her.
Nice. I explained the reasons why I didn't think that she deserved a nomination.
All right, we want to beat that thing over the head. Crystal, you're the guest. Do you have anything you would like us to talk about or any questions or anything?
I'm on the spot. I can't think of anything right now, honestly. Right. I don't know. I'm a boring guest. I'm sorry.
I have a question. Are they are celebrating Martin Luther King birthday in Arizona now, right? I just wanted to
finally yes I know about all about that, and yeah, they finally got around to doing that.
And what's up with y'all's governor, man? What's up with is she still putting her finger in people's faces?
I'm not sure.
I can't stand her either. Yeah,
she needs to know her role. Look, I'm the fucking president, you better ease back,
right?
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I had a topic. I don't know if we're prepared to discuss it. Your number one unsung artist, one artist that just doesn't get the props or hadn't gotten the props that they justly deserve.
I would throw in my pick would be Rashawn Patterson.
Oh, okay.
No idea who that is.
Is
yeah, right. See?
He's got that's why he's unsung.
He's had he's probably had four or five albums now, but for me, his first three bangers, he is, I think he wrote Brandy's, at least one of her top songs, like when she first came out, I'm Going Down or whatever.
I hated that song.
He either wrote that one or the other one that she had that was very popular. He might have wrote them both. He's a good songwriter. He is a dope singer. I think he wrote some of Tevin's stuff. I know they were in a relationship with each other as well, but that dude is very talented, man. Definitely check him out. That's quality shit, man. Very underrated.
For me, I'm gonna go way back, and although folks know his songs, I still don't think that he gets the props that he deserves. And I'll name some of his songs: "Grandma's Hands."
Oh yes.
"Excuse Me."
I don't know about that one.
Oh, he's not unsung.
I don't know. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, man.
Who is it?
Bill Withers. Wow.
It's the Withers.
You know, I just don't think people have that. Oh, that, you know, he's my man. You know, I just don't think people have that love and respect for him that a lot of the old school artists.
I disagree,
get.
But I hear you. I mean, he has like some of the most classic songs of all time. Like,
yeah, but I still think that he. No one knows who he is, really. I mean, people know "Lean on Me." They know "Ain't No Sunshine," but they don't really know who Bill Withers is. I mean, they know the hits, but they don't know the other stuff.
See the movie "Steel Bill."
I was just about to say that. That is one of the best documentaries I've ever seen on an artist, and I love and respect the fact that he left the game on his terms. You know, it wasn't about, you know, well, of course, record sales did decline, but, you know, he's like, hey, I'm out. I'm done. You know, no amount of money can make him come back. He has no interest in touring. He has no interest in, you know, doing the nostalgia tour. You know, he just want to be Bill now, which, you know, I respect. You know, he's not out here, you know, guest appearing on hip hop songs. You know, he's just hanging out.
Are you throwing shots at Paul McCartney?
if the gun fits, load it up. Wow. To paraphrase Morgan Freeman.
Wow.
But
I think Bill gets overlooked because when he came out back in the early 70s, you know, he was just a guy with a guitar and said, "This is what I do. I don't have any dancing girls. I don't even have, you know, OJ's spinners type bullshit. This is what I do." And a lot of people didn't like that. And then they got past that, just listened to the guy's music, and his music stands for itself.
Well, yeah, you know, I just think if you pull, you know, 10 people randomly, I would say black people, since we be tribal on this, and say, hey, who's Bill Withers? You'll probably get a blank stare from most people.
Well, then they need to open the fucking book, man. Shit.
You think people don't know who Bill Withers is by name?
You didn't.
You didn't.
No. I didn't recognize the song title.
That's even worse.
You didn't say like "Ain't No Sunshine" or. I mean,
I didn't recognize those song titles. But if I heard the songs, yeah, I probably would know them. But if you say Bill Withers, I think people know, have an inkling he's a musician.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I think if, like you say to ask somebody who's Marvin Gaye, oh, bam, they'll know who that is. But who's Bill? Who's Bill Withers? They probably wouldn't know.
I don't think that's true.
You got any picks, Q?
I have one guy that I know you guys are going to clown me over because I know you're going to say, oh, he's – what do you mean he's unsung? I firmly believe at the level he is and much as respect as he deserves, he is unsung. I'm going to say this is my first choice, Stevie Wonder.
The fuck's that? Come on, Q.
What's the problem? What's the problem?
Stevie Wonder unsung?
He just had a Grammy.
Can I get it out first? Pause.
All right.
What I mean by unsung is like within the last 3 or 4 years, I've seen Prince featured on various shows a number of times. I have not seen Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder's about to have a CBS special this week.
It's about time. Yeah, it's about time.
So, I mean, I don't know.
I don't see that. But
when Michael Jackson was alive, I mean, it seemed like every it's probably because of the freakishness. All right, withdrawn. Let me give you my second one.
Thank you.
Jeez. Now you're probably gonna clown me in this one, but
Tony Yim?
I like this guy's voice, and I don't know if he is as popular as he maybe he is. I'm gonna say Lloyd.
Okay.
Lloyd who?
Exactly.
That's his name. He was a guest singer on Wale's "Sabotage."
I know who Lloyd is.
Yeah, he's about at the level his talent deserves.
Vocally, I'd say he is that song. I don't know much about him, but I'm just saying from that song, I was hugely impressed. Vocally in that song, to me, he was the second coming of Michael Jackson.
You remember a couple years ago, he tried to kind of mount a comeback, and he was doing like the whole band thing. He was on, was he on Soul Train Awards, or he was on some that, award?
Listening to Sabotage, that doesn't surprise me, because it's a rap song that has a real instrumental feel to it, like a big band feel to it.
Yeah, he was on some, he had the suit and everything, and he was singing, he was doing the James Brown type of stuff. It was maybe three or four years ago at this point, but I guess it didn't work for him.
So you would say he's unsung. You would give me that.
I would
that.
Give that, yeah. I can see that.
I still say Stevie Wonder should be more popular, I guess.
Ampu.
I think they might have already been featured, but hopefully I'm wrong. I would go with Naughty by Nature. You know, I'm from that hip-hop generation. Mm-hmm. At a point in time, they were one of the biggest hip-hop acts. And I actually have a second one that definitely I know they have. What? I think they haven't been featured either. I mean, come on. Who doesn't know Hip Hop Array? But even the album after that, where they had The Craziest and Feel Me Flow, some of those other songs, Naughty by Nature had a catalog that, you know, people forget about them. The other one, and again, because, you know, West Coast guy, I have to do Bone Thugs and Harmony. They were the big, for 3 years, they had like the number one selling hip hop album. And
they couldn't
biggest.
Understand a word they were saying.
But that was a charm too. I mean, come on, the Crossroads. I mean, you could. I'm just saying, for about a 3 month period, if that song came on, you could just see you driving down LA, you would see people just literally crying. That song came on. That's how much they touched people.
I was crying too, but for a different reason.
I think they either have a behind the music or they do have an unsung. But they got
they were on unsung.
Okay.
But
it's limited to, you know, features on the show, because Bill Withers hasn't been on there. I don't think anybody else that we mentioned. Just in general.
Right. How about you, Crystal?
Well, I'm going to dig back in like the 70s, and I'm going to say Leon Ware.
Woo!
Leon, well, why does the name sound familiar?
Because he produced Marvin Gaye's I Want You album.
Yep.
Mm. It pretty much gave it that sound, and he's the driving force behind that album. But his album Musical Massage is amazing, so that's who I would pick.
Damn,
I didn't even know he had an album.
What's your number, girl? Young girls know this music.
I'm about to download now.
It's great. I love that album. It's so good.
Okay, is it bad that we didn't mention a female?
No,
we still got one more person to go.
Okay. Big Six. I'm sorry. I don't think Big Six is gonna name a female. But okay.
What kind of sexist fucking statement was that?
Okay, well, prove me wrong, sir.
For being proved wrong, you didn't name one. Fuck you.
Hey, I'll name one real quick. Nika Costa.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
She's about to come out with something new.
That girl.
Help me out.
You don't know? Okay.
Just look it up. She would be unsung. I could see that, but she's dope.
If you don't have everybody got to get their something that album, you gotta get that, put that in your collection. She can rock, she can sing, you know. Of course, she's down with our boy, which, you know, that gets a seal of stamp of approval there. Definitely, that would be a female I would pick. Sorry, Big Sexy, go ahead.
Well, let me go ahead and start the firestorm now. Uh-oh. Considering the unsung audience and their demographic, I don't care. But this guy gets no play. Actually, these guys, I have two, get no play from quote-unquote the tribalness of our media. The first being Living Color. Yeah. The second being Darius Rucker. Yeah, I said it.
Okay. No, I said it.
I like Darius Rucker. Definitely.
Rucker gets no play.
They put out three albums. They must have been...
See, again, Q, talking outside of your neck. Darius did an R&B album after he...
No, I'm not talking about... I'm talking about Living Color. You're talking about the rock group, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They put out three albums. They must have been sung in some way.
They got no play back in the day on B.
I remember Cult of Personality being on MTV day and night.
I remember never seeing them on BET at all. On Video Soul and that stuff.
So?
Yeah, well, that's because... I mean, come on, it's BET.
Yeah,
I would say they're unsung. I mean,
yeah, I would too. Yeah, Big Sexy, it's funny you met Darius Rucker. I'm holding in my hand. Too bad you can't see. We're not doing video Skype. I have Back to Then right here in my hand right now, his R&B record.
As do I.
And his cover of I'm Glad You're Mine is, woo, fire.
I should say that I did, was it 60 Minutes or some show in the last 3 or 4 months, did a feature on him. So
he's,
I mean,
doing like country now, right?
Yeah. He was talking about how I just remember a big part of the interview was if people are being racist and don't want him doing country, then he doesn't want them at their concerts, at his concerts.
Hmm. Understandable.
So he's sung.
You know, one thing I will say this about the whole Hootie and the Blowfish kind of, everyone says that their success, took people by surprise, shocked them or whatever. But you got to remember what was out during that time. And no offense, Mike, this was during the Seattle grunge period when they came out. And, you know, people were just sort of tired of being depressed and that Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and all that stuff. And, you know, people just wanted to smile again. You know what I mean? And you know, Hootie comes out with, you know, Hold My Hand and I Want to Be With You. And again, it just something that just it was, I won't say lightning in a bottle, but it was the right song. Those are the right songs at the right time, you know, a year early. Probably wouldn't have hit a year later. It probably would have been too late, but they came right at the right time, you know.
I'm not familiar with any of their music. I know who they are, but I don't think I've ever heard their stuff.
Hold My Hand is a good song, I think. I don't know about
that. Are you talking about Hootie and the Blowfish still?
Yeah.
Mike, you never heard I Only Want to Be With You?
I may have heard it like seen on TV. I just don't know what it is. Like if you
That's them, right? Isn't that them?
Yeah.
I probably know it in passing or something.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't play it up in Seattle at the time. Cause
I was to me that was a good point. Was my Death Row days. So I don't anything that wasn't on Death Row or Tupac. I don't.
Yeah. No, I was just kidding because you know they were the anti grunge. That's what I mean by you know they came out at the perfect time to come out. I mean you know and again even hip hop even gangster rap at that time too. Everybody was so mean and angry and frustrated and F the world and all that. Yeah. And here come these guys, you know, I want to hold your hand. I only want to be with you. Happy, smiling, people connected to that.
Please don't say happy. Don't say that word.
I will. You know, I've already said I'm happy is now in the Hey Ya archives for me, a song I never, ever, ever want to hear again for the rest of my life.
And that
it's the married fellas on the panel that don't like happy. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying it's overplayed.
And Hans Zimmer was on some bullshit. That was just, come on.
As I ranted on the last show, that song's been out since 2013. Let It Go.
Don't go say
home.
That.
Yeah, don't say that. I know. Go home, happy you're drunk. you've overstayed your welcome.
You know, and I mean, see this. Y'all supposed to be the elder statesman of the panel. You know, because back in the day, didn't a song's life cycle used to be about a year and a half?
No,
really.
No.
Okay. No. Okay.
You're wrong again.
If you want to say that, go ahead.
I mean, well, I primarily listen to Prince, of course, and of course the shelf life of his songs were about 6 months, to, you know, maybe a year, you know, because he was putting out an album every year. But again, I don't want to hear that song ever again. Just like Hey Ya, Hey Ya is not a married person song. I don't want to hear that song ever again either.
Hmm. All right, I think we have drained everything out.
Admit that.
I ain't paused.
That's why he was quiet there for a minute, huh, Mike?
You didn't know what you were saying there, Mike.
I knew exactly what I was saying.
He found that 50 Shades.
50 Shades. Keep your theme, man. I'm trying to stay in character here.
Sound like you found that clap, is what it sounded like.
Whoa. Slow down. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, definitely we appreciate you listening. Listen. Preacher Man's not coming in today, but
I've said that like five different times, man. I'm telling you.
I've been sipping on this Bud Light Lime, so I'm liable to say something crazy if I go into that, and I don't want to be too too disrespectful. But if you can, definitely dig in deep. We can use some help with our Work It Like a Job campaign. You know, follow the link at the bottom of this show. Before we get out of here, we got to go around the room. We're going to start with our special guest first. And again, we want to thank you from the bottom and the top of our hearts.
Yes,
Crystal,
thank you
for being on here and for contributing and continue to listen and letting us have some of your precious time and getting all up in your ear. We definitely appreciate that. So thank you again. Where can people find you online?
Well, I am on Twitter. My name on there is Chris Neese. It's CrysNeece. I'm mainly on there. I kind of tweet every once in a while, but that's mainly where I'm at. If you want to follow me, just I'll be there.
All right. Definitely check that out.
Yeah, Mr. You know you're fucked up now.
What's up?
What?
You know you're fucked up now.
I apologize. Crystal, I apologize first.
I'm like, what?
I was saying, you put your Twitter on file? Yeah, they're coming after you.
That's fine.
That's all right. That's all right, Tommy slash Zoe. No, I'm just moving on to Mr. Q-Storm. Where can I find you?
You can find me at qstorm.com/lightningstrikes. I've been trying to get new stuff on that page. I've just been busy doing the centric thing. I'm gonna try to get up a Kingsman review. You can also find me on Facebook at Michael Jones. That's where it all goes down for me. Twitter at QStorm3476, and check me out on Pinterest at QStorm Media Group.
All right, and Pooh.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Pooh, and I'll have a new column at 401mania.com. Blackwashed, the top eight Black replacements of white characters.
All right. I want to check that out. Big Sexy and Sack.
Excuse me. Oh, God. Twitter, Big Sexy and Sack. Facebook, Mark Wiggins. And I'm watching a Chicago man put a young gangbanger in check. Michael T. put up.
Oh, that reminds me. Did y'all see the footage of the high-speed car chase?
Oh, yeah.
That was
two cars, and the woman got out and just started whooping that ass.
Yeah. That was I wish you would hit my car type of shit.
Was that in California?
That was in Texas.
Oh, Texas. Right.
Yeah.
Man, you might run into the wrong one, female or male, in Texas.
Yeah, that was the thing, too, because it looked like the brother, he got out the car like, oh, fuck, dude, you done fucked my car up. And the sister was just jumped over, and he looked like, God damn, I got to go get this chick.
Did you see the person on the ground like, oh, I was like, what the fuck is going on? But that's what it'd be like. That's like I said, when I have, like, I'll beat you down. I wish you would hit my car. God damn it. You know, you got to be real careful out here, man. And yeah, that dude, and shout out to that dude in Chicago, man. Some of these dudes ain't out here playing, man. You know, shout out to Bill West.
What happened in Chicago? What was that?
Apparently, he's an older brother, probably around our age, and he was talking about an encounter he had with one of them young, thugged out type dudes in Chicago. Came up him talking about what set he claimed or what colors he's wearing or some crazy shit. And he like, hey, man, I don't do all that kind of shit. Dude started reaching in his pocket, and the older dude had his gun on him. He's like ready to draw. And he's like, listen now, I'll draw down on you. I'm not out here playing these gang games and all that. But like I said, you know, as these videos illustrate, you don't know who you're running up on. And some of these people are out here ready to go. But let's get on target. Sean Hill, where can I find you?
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views, also Facebook, Sean Hill and Real Movie Talk, and the blog, hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. The current review is 50 Shades of Grey. Next week, I'll have a review of The Unnecessary Hot Tub Time Machine 2, a sequel that couldn't even get its star back, so I'm not really anticipating good things for that one. John Cusack even said, that's okay. So, but anyway, that's where you find me.
All right. And definitely check out Podcast Juice on Twitter at Podcast Juice. Also, Facebook, just look up Podcast Juice. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to work it like a job. We'll see you next time. Peace.
You know what's the scrap shit, we bout to own it. You know it, it's many means trying to clone us. I got a bonus for the bitch that run a bonus. I got a bonus for your bitch that run a bonus. It's the felonious super microphonist.
No time to sleep, cause if you sleep, you don't eat. Got a whole heat just to make ends meet. Niggas living on the street by other niggas' feasts. Aight with you, it ain't aight with me, right? Gotta make money all my life. Gotta stay fucking bitches many types. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yup, stay turning these bitches out. Dick them down, also dick them out. Those duck down whenever my dick's out. They know me, so they restructure and reroute. They know me from Washington to down south. All the way to London to my niggas' common house. Right? It's like a game we never played. Out, out, out.
Nigga, no doubt. Nigga, get live, you knock the fuck out. Word up, just be about what you about, dog. You know what I'm saying? Just play at your own risk. And like you know, bitch, I'm on some grown shit. It's the Thelonious super microphonist. You know what's this rap shit, we about to own it. You know it, cause you can feel it in your throat. Say it.
I'm about to let my mind flow.
Say it.
Get your third eye poke. Fuck game, I assemble dope. Ness, a nigga that's fresh as the fast. Study this rap shit, no need to mic test. You can feel it in your chest. Yo, B.I., feel it in a breath. Plus you rhyme like a nigga with his nipples pierced. We lick off lyrics in the streets and real niggas hear us dreaming when I wrote this. Box me if I go too wild. Still doing this shit like dude in wild style. Inviting whack niggas to dinner. I trick daddy MCs and I don't know. Nah, nigga, who can take it where I take it? You better go into God like Mace did. Leaving crowds complacent. I move them above clouds, whether on some surfing turf shit or thug style. You can feel it in your body. Yeah, y'all, you can feel it in your body.
Like if a 12-gauge shotty shell hit your body. You don't want to need to find your ass hot. Copy, copy, these niggas trying to clone us. You know us, the lonely us, super microphone. Know this rap shit we bought to own, dog.
Hey, it's like a ritual. You've been invited, let the motorbike stimulate the place with the grace. Nevertheless, I stress, let the music put a smile on your face. As for the ritual, when it comes to spiritual excellence, you know I always leave you with the taste. I know you like it hard to the core, that's what you ask for. You aching for the best, hurting like a sore.
Hey, it's like a ritual, conversation with the most high makes you wanna cry. I wonder why. You wanna get to paradise, but that itty bitty part of you don't wanna die. So pay attention to my word, cause it's the truth. Meditation ease the mind, it brings the youth. It's like a verse you could never read out of a book. Dropping a line in your mind like a fish hook. Word is birth, yo, I do it till the break of day. Pay attention to your heart, never go astray. Word is born, yo, we do it
and we don't quit. Suck a nigga, you don't want it. Still on the get sewn in this rap shit. Super microphone and we know to spit. Spit fire like Esther on Sanford and Son did. I'm wrong, dude. More juice, the sun kiss. You want this? So when Jake saying the rhyme, flawless. Shit fly like MJ in his prime. Off the wall with mines. I'm grabbing my balls when I rhyme. Nines busting plus ball all the time. Now stay on your mind like great sex. You ain't on my mind, I'm thinking about paychecks. Niggas large like an 8X Saver X jacket. Coney guns, they bust like latex sex packets. MCs, they don't rhyme and ball, they line the yard. They dying to ball the rhyme, we do all the time. We do all the fine bitches, they fall in lines. Me and my mans is something like the Saw Sports. They getting money, get long time, and you're short. My niggas bouncing for and rising, yours for. You funny, dude? Cause really, you think you could do me when you roll a 500? That's really your 320. Should've let somebody else hook it. Numbers look crooked like King Kong shook it. From when niggas bang gats when they celebrate. That's how they play, don't let it be a holiday. Thelonious niggas, if you're testing us, we get you laid back. Show you the definition of a payback.
Sent today at 11:50 p.m.
Boo, Rashid, call grandma. This is grandma, honey. A nigga robbed me on the riverboat, took my fur coat and everything. Call me when.